The Mike Wagner Show is powered by Sonic Web Studios.
Hi, this is Mia Mohsen-Zia, also known as Mia No Time for Love. Check out my latest book, Missing, available in print and ebook formats on Amazon.
It's now time for The Mike Wagner Show, powered by Sonic Web Studios and sponsored by international award-winning author Mia Mohsen-Zia of Missing. The Mike Wagner Show can be heard on over 40 podcast platforms, as well as HamiltonRadio.net, Diamonds FM, and TheMikeWagnerShow.com. We can be heard in over 100 countries, featuring over 1,000 well-known and amazing guests throughout the globe, and named one of the top 100 global podcasts in the New York Weekly Times, Hollywood Entertainment News, Los Angeles Weekly Times, Apple, and Chartable. So sit back and relax and enjoy another great episode of the award-winning Mike Wagner Show.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike from the Mike Wagner Show, powered by Sonic Web Studios. Visit online at sonicwebstudios.com for all your needs. And brought to you by official sponsor of the Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Mohsen-Zia of Missing, available on Amazon and paperback and ebook. We're here with a terrific gentleman who's an author, entrepreneur, public speaker, and a philanthropist. He's also an athlete. He worked in a variety of industries, including launching a couple of startup businesses. He prefers managing people over money, and he's also completed over 50 triathlons, 15 Ironmen, and also several 24-hour runs. And he's still running on this day. And he's got a new book out there, which is called Cycle Lives, and explores 15 people experiencing emotional journeys with cancer, you know, this involving caregivers, patients, and loved ones, doctors, etc. And of course, various traumas in their lives affected people, their experiences, and more. And what got him into it? We hear some of the stories live, ladies and gentlemen, from the Plus Studio somewhere along the West Coast. The amazing author, entrepreneur, public speaker, athlete, and philanthropist. And he's also a marathon man, and he's still running, ladies and gentlemen. The author of Cycle of Lives, multi-talented, David Richmond. David, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. I'm really excited to talk to you. Yeah, I'm still running. I'm doing training for a half Ironman. It's taking place in a couple of months. I got a 24-hour bike ride coming up later this summer. I got another Ironman coming up after that. Yeah, I'm still going.
And I can tell you're running in place as well, too. It's like I can feel the feet running. It's like you're running, running, running. Of course, you know, if you want to do any exercise bike, that's fine, too. So,
yeah, it's fantastic, right? Yeah, fantastic.
It is. That's right. So you're an author, entrepreneur, you're a public speaker, athlete, and philanthropist. You work in a variety of industries, including starting and launching a couple of startups. You prefer managing people over money, and you complete over 50 triathlons, 15 Ironmen, several 24-hour runs. You also have a new book exploring 15 people with emotional journeys and also dealing with cancer, like with caregivers, patients, loved ones, doctors, and more, and the various traumas in their lives that affected their experiences. And you got 15 people to choose from. It's called Cycle of Lives. And before getting all that, David, tell us how you first got started.
How I first got started in this life, right? We all have multiple facets of our life, but in this life of being an author and an endurance athlete, that started for me, Mike, in my late 30s. I was very successful on one side of the coin, good friends, good job, you know, really good standing in life. I was pretty happy with my professional world, but on the other side of the coin, I was very overweight. I was a smoker. I was stressed out. I was in a very unhealthy, abusive relationship. Married to an alcoholic, and it was no fun. And I had 4-year-old twins that I needed to get to safety. And
wow.
And I said, man, we got to figure out a way out of here. And kind of when I did, I was complaining to a friend of mine, Mike. I was going like, dude, why does all this bad stuff just keep happening to me? And he goes, man, I have been listening to you for years complaining about all this nonsense. He goes, you need to take a look in the mirror and figure out what your problem is, because you're the one that's the problem, not everything else. And I kind of went, holy crap, man, really? Like, I'm the problem? I thought all these other people were the problem. And when I did take time to look in the mirror, I said, man, you're nothing like who you want to be. You're nothing you could be proud of. You're not living your best life. Make some changes. And so that really started it. And you know, after smoking for 25 years or something, I just said, yeah, you got to be done, man. You got to move on. You got to lose weight. You got to stop smoking. You got to become healthy. You got to start making better choices. And I just kind of started day one. That's when it started.
Mm-hmm. And certainly day one as well, and D two. And of course, you've been on an amazing journey. And what was that one precise moment that simply influenced you into what you're doing for the rest of your career?
Yeah. So it was that kind of looking in the mirror and just asking myself over and over and over, like, who are you? Like, what are you all about? I didn't have any compass point. I didn't have any clearly defined values. I didn't have a priority architecture in my life. I just kind of floated to whatever problem I could try to solve. And sometimes solving problems works and benefits you, you know, in work or whatever. But a lot of times solving problems just makes you want to find another problem. And so I just didn't really have any answers to the question of who are you and who do you want to be? And so that was the thing that changed my life. And what I said was, you know, at the time I said, if you're going to, for once in your life, take an honest assessment of yourself, like go ahead, do it. Like be raw and be honest and just be as tough on yourself as you can. And when I made that assessment, I wasn't real happy. So I said, all right, man, well, you know, you lived enough years doing the wrong thing. Forgive yourself, move on, now start doing the right thing. And that included starting to run and then bike and then become more athletic and then really apply that kind of discipline to other areas of my life. And really endurance athletics just helped me in a ton of different ways. So that was like, that was one, the path that I went on that transformed me from being, you know, very unhappy to being very, very happy.
And what made you choose that decision to be a run, bike, and everything like that? That one precise moment, and you know, especially in that area.
Yeah, well, I mean, the truth is that my sister had just at that point got diagnosed with terminal brain cancer. Mm. My twins and I mentioned we were finally in a safe place, and I finally was looking in the mirror, and my daughter came up to me one day. She had heard from her, you know, preschool teacher, kindergarten teacher, whatever, that smoking causes cancer. And I had talked to my kids about June, you know, what a 5-year-old could understand. And you know, they knew that she had cancer and, you know, that was going to kill her. And my daughter said to me, like, hey, Dad, why don't you stop smoking cigarettes? And I went, oh, you mean somebody could care about me? You know? And I said, all right, well, if you stop sucking your thumb, I'll stop smoking.
I love that trade-off. I love that trade-off. I should have told that to my kids many years ago. You know, sucking a finger, sucking the thumb, and sucking whatever. It's just like, you know, I could have done some trade-offs myself. It's like, now I know after 25 years of this or whatever, raising cats.
Yeah, so we made the deal. I mean, I held up my end of the bargain a lot quicker than she did, but she was only 5, so I got to cut her a little bit of slack. I should have known better. But it took the, you know, I mean, kids say the darndest things, and to know that the kids cared about me enough to say, we don't want you to go. That made me say, well, shoot, man, maybe I got to be my best self and reflect that against what my sister was going through. So I'm on this path of enlightenment, Mike, where I'm like, let me go figure out my life. Let me go figure out my compass points. Let me go try to live my best life. And here my sister is, who's already living her best life. Now it's going to end soon. And I was just taken by the poignancy of that, you know, everybody has their own journey. And man, when the reality is you don't know how much time you have. And so why are we keep wasting, you know, for me, why was I keep wasting another day and another day and another day, not living my best life? And that really put it into perspective for me.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you talked about your journey. You talked about 15 other journeys, and think about your daughter as well too. And the best reward from not sucking a thumb, you know, give lollipops as well too. That's the best reward right there. So,
yeah, no kidding. So on these 15 stories, what I did, Mike, is I noticed when I was doing events that were charitable related to what my sister was going through. You know, either events that were focused around her, or focused around cancer, or the center that took care of her, or whatever. I noticed that people were really good, Mike, about dealing with the tasks related to their cancer. Like, how do I set up my doctor's appointments? How do I get back and forth to chemo? How do I navigate work? How do I navigate insurance? The tasks around it, people were really good at. But when it came to the emotional side, like talking to people about the emotional issues related to cancer, you know, being a caregiver for 20 years or losing a loved one or going through cancer yourself and talking about it with people, even the people closest to you, people just aren't equipped for that side of it. They're just, it's very isolating, very quiet place. And I was kind of struck by that. And I went to find a bunch of stories that I could ask people, why is it? Why is it so hard for you to have the hard conversations around the emotional aspects? Or why is it hard for people around you to have the hard conversations around the emotional aspects of cancer and trauma? And that's what drew me to write the latest book.
Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about your book as well, too, Cycle of Lives, and presenting 15 different stories or different journeys with David Richmond. But first, listen to The Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com, powered by Sonic Web Studios. Visit online at sonicwebstudios.com for all your needs. Looking at a professional website without breaking your budget, Sonic Web Studios is the answer. Sonic Web Studios offers fast, affordable custom web designs that blow the competition away. Call today, 1-800-303-3960. That's 1-800-303-3960. Or email to support at sonicwebstudios.com. Mention the Mike Wagner Show, get 20% off your first project. Sonic Web Studios, take your image to the next level. Also, time to give an official shout out to our official sponsor, the Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Molson Zia. If you love fast paced mysteries, you'll love Missing by Mia Molson Zia, available on Amazon and paperback and ebook. Missing is fast paced and intriguing with an unforgettable twist. Takes place in four countries, two strangers, one target, where truth is illusion and those you love be the first go missing. It's available on Amazon and paperback and ebook. Missing by Mia Molson Zia has garnered great reviews in E11 and George by Howard celebrities, including Joanna Cassidy, Forbes, Riley, and many others. So grab your copy today for Girls Missing by Mia Molson Zia, available on Amazon. Also, check out The Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com and over 40 podcast platforms. Heard in 100 countries, including Facebook, SoundCloud, Spreaker, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Also, Anchor FM, iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, Audible, Apple. Also on Hamilton Radio every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central. Also on BitChute, Rumble, and a few networks and podcast platforms coming soon. Take us with you on any mobile device. Subscribe to The Mike Wagner Show on the YouTube channel. Don't forget to follow The Mike Wagner Show on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok today. And for great gift ideas, go to Amazon.com. Check out The Mike Wagner Show podcast. T-shirts, pop sockets, throw pillows, tote bags, hoodies. Makes great gifts 24/7. Go to Amazon.com. Check out The Mike Wagner Show podcast. And for more great gift ideas, go to Amazon.com/MeAndMolsonZia for great books like Missing, Once, and Wrinkles. Also T-shirts, pop sockets, hoodies, phone cases, and more. Amazon.com/MeAndMolsonZia. Check it out today. I'll support The Mike Wagner Show on Anchor FM, PayPal, and themikewagnershow.com. Make sure you do so today. We're here with the amazing author, entrepreneur, public speaker, athlete, and philanthropist, David Richmond, here on The Mike Wagner Show, the book, The Cycle of Lives. And your book just highlights 15 different stories and 15 journeys. And why did you decide to present 15 different stories on that?
That's a great question, Mike. But here's the answer is that, you know, if I want to learn about the human condition, especially as it relates to trauma, especially as it relates to cancer, I can't just hear one person's story, and I can't hear the same story told by 10 different people. What I needed to do was to find people that had a range of age, had encountered cancer one time in their life, maybe five times in their life. I wanted a caregiver, an oncologist, a nurse, a medical professional. I want a young, old, lost a child, lost a grandparent, cared for a child, cared for a grandparent. And then I wanted, above and beyond that, people who were willing to talk about the young adult, adolescent, childhood traumas, such as drug addiction, incarceration, suicide of a parent, making bad decisions, being in abusive relationships, so that we can understand how the trauma that we all experience trauma, how the trauma either allowed them to or prevented them from connecting with others while they were going through their cancer experience as a caregiver, patient, whatever. Because I thought, man, if I could 360 that view about why is it so hard for us to talk about the emotional side? Because we're limited by this, we're limited by that, we're afraid of this. We don't say the wrong thing. And I could tell the stories in a really evocative, inspirational way. Then I thought that we could get a 360 view on the subject rather than one person telling the story.
Mm-hmm. And maybe you can just pick like maybe a couple or a few of the stories as well, too, and just give us a brief synopsis of it. And what can we learn from it?
Yeah, sure. So a lot of the stories start with a really big question. Okay. Like one question I'm thinking about is Bobby and Brandy's story. And the question is, if you were down in the dumps your whole life and making bad decisions, having bad things happen to you, and finally you met it, you met the one, the angel, the person that made you see life with a new pair of glasses, the absolute truest of love. And shortly after you meet, you lose that person to cancer. How do you move on? Well, I'm going to ask a tougher question. How do you move on to then find the new, absolute, undisputable love of your life? Like, how is that even possible? And Bobby's and Brandy's story is about that. Like, how can you move on from losing such a seminal part of your life and still be grateful, still be happy? And I won't give away the whole story, but in the end, I asked Bobby, I'm like, man, like, how is it possible that you're this happy? And he goes, look, man. He goes, what happened to me and Brandy, I couldn't wish that on anybody. It's the worst thing in the world. And if Brandy didn't die, I would be happily married to her. I would long for nothing. We would have a big family. My life would be wonderful. He leaned in and he goes, but that didn't happen. And I wouldn't change my life now for one single thing. Every moment of every day, I'm so grateful for the person in my life, the life I'm leading. And you just wonder, like, how does somebody think that way? How can they get to a point where they were at such a low, get rescued or rescued themselves to such a great place, then get to an even lower low and allow themselves to be loved and to love another? It's a really touching, wonderful story. Those are the kind of stories that we talk about and that we explain, you know, kind of what's the emotional side of loss, what's the emotional side of trauma and cancer, and how can we use negative circumstances, how can we use adversity to enhance our lives and to be positive and to live our best lives? That's what each story has a piece of.
Mm-hmm. And also too, that y'all talked about, you know, Bobby as well too. And of course y'all talked to a few other people. What was the most challenging, you know, story that you encountered as well too? And, you know, what can we learn from as well? What was like the most challenging or the most difficult?
Yeah. Wow. The most difficult, I think, for me was talking to a couple I talked to the husband. I was introduced to this couple because a good friend of mine said that this woman was grateful for having received a diagnosis of terminal brain cancer. And I'm like, that's not even possible, right? It's how can somebody be grateful for receiving a terminal diagnosis? They had six kids. Excuse me, I'm sorry, there's a plane going over.
Oh, that's okay.
That happens. They had six kids and had lost one at 18 months old, married for 25 years, pillars of the community. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a second, you're getting a terminal diagnosis and you're grateful. I couldn't wrap my brain around it. And shortly after I was introduced to them, the wife, the mom of the kids, she passed away. And her husband and her sisters and her mom agreed to talk to me and really explain their experience and, you know, the highs and lows and the ups and downs. And it was really, really tough because it was fresh in their minds. I couldn't wrap my brain around, how do you lose a child and move on? How do you have a successful marriage and move on? How do you continue to raise kids? How do you be the pillar of the family and the pillar of the community? And then all of a sudden you get diagnosed like that. And your first reaction is tears of gratitude. And I was like, boy, I just don't know if I can chew that off. And after talking to everyone involved, you really understood how, of course, she didn't want that diagnosis. Of course, it was a tragedy for everybody involved. But the alternative of what was happening to her at that time was one that you would not want, and nobody could want, and nobody could understand. And hearing that she had a cancer diagnosis kind of answered the questions of, like, you know, I'm not going crazy. I'm not going to lose my life, you know, to an institution. She just learned that that gratitude comes in many forms. And I think that they told me Brandy's story in a way, I mean, Lauren's story in a way that I could, that I could write it and make it believable. It's a tough story to write because I'm trying to wrap my brain around how do you have gratitude for something so difficult? And you want to know something? It's our toughest times, Mike, that can give us gratitude, that can give us hope, that can give us optimism. And so I think the story, their life story put on paper really helps people because it lets them know that main fact that, man, no matter how tough it is, no matter how rough it is, there's still a reason to be optimistic. There's still a reason to be grateful.
Mm-hmm. It seems like the tough times will get people to open up as well, too. How else do you get people open up on a deep and personal level, especially if they have cancer or anything tragic or, you know, things like that along the book?
Yeah, it's tough because, first of all, we were going places where people had never talked before. I talked to an oncologist who has been practicing, a surgeon and a breast cancer oncologist for 40 years at NYU. And I said to her, I said, Dr. Myers, is it okay if we talk about things you never talked about? And she goes, yeah, I think I'm comfortable with that. And we went as deep as we could go because what the hope was is that in telling authentic, deep diving stories about the real crap, the real highs and lows that they went through, by really telling it in an authentic, revealing way, that it just might help others. So armed with this kind of dual, like we all agreed that was the mission, then it made it a little bit easier. But certainly going to places that are really tough to talk about, we had to develop a lot of trust for each other. They had to believe that I wasn't there to exploit them. I was there to use them to help others. And they bought into that. And so, you know, some people went by the wayside because I wasn't talented enough to get to the heart of the matter. Sometimes people went to the wayside because the places we went were too dark or too difficult for them. And they just weren't equipped to go there. But luckily, 15 people were able to go as deep as we could go to understand the true essence of that. Like, how do I relate to somebody how do I understand the full depth of the comment? You never know what people are going through. You mm-hmm. never know. And they gave us that.
And certainly do as well, too. You also went on a journey talking to those 15 people, you know, yeah. Timed in the marathons, everything like that. And and now, did you do this when you went on marathons and also on triathlons and everything? You went over and talked to those people as well?
So I'm going to make it even a little bit crazier. So for anybody that is thinking about endurance athletics, or you kind of know what a marathon is or a long bike ride is, I thought, Mike, that if we're all connected by emotion, which I believe all humans are, and we're all connected by stories, you're a storyteller. Who doesn't like to tell stories? we're all connected by story and we're connected by emotion. So I said, Mike, why don't I just connect all the stories? Because I hadn't met most of the people before I talked to them for a couple of years and still hadn't met them. So I said, let me just connect everybody. And so I jumped on my bike and I bicycled around the country 4,700 miles in 45 days to connect the stories. So that was the narrative in the book is my bike ride and the people I met along the way. But the major part of the book is each of these 15 stories. But in between each one of the stories is a little respite where I talk about the bike ride and the people I met along the way. And so my ride kind of connects all of the stories.
Hmm. And what's the most important two or three things you learned during the entirety of your journey, the project, bike ride, and the book? What are some of the things you learned?
Well, without sounding trite, the idea that people really are going through a lot and people have gone through a lot. There wasn't any, I mean, there were people I met, Mike, where I would be like, oh my God, if I could only have it like them. And then I get into their story and I realize I would want nothing of what they've been through. I mean, nothing. So I think the one thing that was amazing was that everybody's going through something or has been through something. Trauma is something that touches all of us. It's kind of like how you deal with it. That's what separates us. That was one. Number two, I thought was pretty amazing, Mike, is no matter how crazy, amazing, interesting, evocative, inspirational, however moving these stories were, every person kind of said, yeah, I don't know why we're talking. I'm not that interesting. And I thought, you know, everybody's just living their life, right? And so when you couple those two things together, that people tend to minimize what they're going through because they're just trying to get day to day. They're just trying to live their life. They're just trying to process the nonsense. And then you realize how difficult sometimes life is on people. It really is poignant about, man, I got to make a connection because it can make a big effect. It can have a great effect on them. Mm-hmm. That was another. And I think the one thing that you think, you know, I thought I knew ahead of going into it, but I don't think I understood the depth of it, Mike, was that trauma, cancer, whether you're a caregiver, a receiver, a counselor, a friend, it's a very lonely place. It's very isolating. People get abandoned because I heard my friend got something. I don't want to talk to him, man. I don't want to say the wrong thing. So people tend to disappear. It's very isolating. I don't want to burden people with my problems, so I'm just going to keep to myself. It can be a lonely place, and I think that touched me as to how the depths of that sense of loneliness or nobody would understand what I'm going through attitude. Everybody had that at some level, which was shocking to me.
Mm-hmm. And do you think social media also plays in a part of it as well too? And how much?
Yeah, for sure. Because who isn't trying? I mean, listen, who hasn't been to a ball game and you're sitting a couple of rows behind someone that's taking 20 pictures and smiling at the camera? And as soon as they got the right camera, the right picture on the camera, they stop smiling. Right? It's just like it's all just a bunch of nonsense. And I think that just relays into this thing that I have two faces. I got my public face and my private face. And my private face, I'm not showing anyone. my emotions, I'm not showing anyone. And who hasn't had somebody walk by them at work and you kind of sense something's going on, but you're not really sure. And then if you get a safe space to ask and they tell you, you're like, holy crap, you've been going through that? Like, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you say something? And people just don't. Right? It's a very lonely place dealing with trauma and dealing with the emotional aspects of things. So that was pretty telling.
Mm-hmm. And you also tied about the ball game as well, too, that people taking pictures go to a ball game back in the day would actually connect into deeper relationships. You know, I seem to think about that. And they said, baseball games, especially, two, 3 hours long, go to a Dodger game or like a Yankees, Cubs, or even the Giants, or say like the Marlins, no matter how the bad teams are, it's like, you know, 2-3 hours. It's like you develop deep connections when you're around people, even like you make friends, even like a row or two behind you or in front of you as well.
Yeah. Right now. Right. I mean, who talks at a game? You look at your phone the whole time. So I love it when we're getting the opportunity to connect. Like when my kids were growing up, I used to put us on, I had a boat. We used to go boating a lot in the summertime. And I was like, we're all leaving our phones in the car because man, you're on a boat alone together. You get time to bond, you get time to talk. And I love that. And we just look, society today, it's not conducive to forming deep relationships with the humans around us, even the ones that are closest to us. How many times you go, like, you're sitting at a restaurant, and you keep staring over this couple because you're like, how in the world are they sitting there for that long and not saying a word to each other, right? We just don't connect the way we used to connect, or maybe even the way we should connect. So that's what this book was all about. It's like try to help shine some light on that topic.
And there's one story I do want to share about restaurants as well. Too, I took my family to a Mexican restaurant in Western North Dakota and greeted by a singing waiter. And where we're taking our seats, he goes by the table and starts singing, playing guitar. And everyone's like, why is he doing that? And he looked over, he goes, that's because everybody's on their phones. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's fantastic. Yeah. And that could be isolating. I mean, we know how difficult there's no way I want to be an adolescent young adult right now. The pressure that you have to put on that public face, to be perfect, to be Mr. or Mrs. Perfect, to be dialed in, to have no problems, to be living the vida loca, all this stuff. Heck no, man. I would not want that for anything. And it's a very tough place because in real life, we got to deal with real stuff. And social media is dealing with made up stuff. And boy, it makes it a lot tougher. So I have a lot of compassion for people that are trying to keep up with their peer group, you know, on social media. It's tough.
And certainly does as well, too. You also have another book out too, really quick. It's called Winning in the Middle of the Pack. And how do you win in the middle of the pack and overcome adversity? We'll find out with David Richmond. You listen to The Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com, powered by Sonic Web Studios, and brought to you by official sponsor, The Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Molson-Zia Missing. We'll be back with author, entrepreneur, public speaker, athlete, and philanthropist David Richmond after this time.
The Mike Wagner Show is powered by Sonic Web Studios. If you're looking to start or upgrade your online presence, visit www.sonicwebstudios.com for all of your online needs. Call 1-800-303-3960 or visit us online at www.sonicwebstudios.com to get started today. Mention The Mike Wagner Show and get 20% off your project. Sonic Web Studios. Take your image to the next level.
Hey, everybody. My name is Forbes Riley, and I'm an American actress and a TV host. And I was delighted when I got my copy of Missing, which is Extraordinary Relation of Ordinary People Based on a Real Life Relationship. It's well written. It's amazing. You know, it talks about a man who has lost his wife and his daughter, and it's very well done. I'm going to highly recommend that you go get your copy of Missing. It is a powerful, exciting read. Mr. Mian Moshe-Zia, he is the author of Missing. And I want to give a big shout out and a kiss all the way halfway around the world to my dear friend. Check him out at Mia's website. It's called www.miamoshenzea.com. Missing, available on Amazon. Again, I'm Forbes Riley, and I will see you again soon. Bye-bye.
Hey, hey, this is Ray Powers, and boy, are you in luck. Right place, right time. Tuned in to The Mike Wagner Show. You heard me.
We're back with the amazing, multi-talented David Richmond here on The Mike Wagner Show. We talked about the cycle of lives, and you've also been an author as well, too, and kind of, you know, encouraging people to win in the middle of a pack, and to explain that one.
Yeah, that's a good one, right? So think about this, Mike. Like if the marathon was coming to town and you saw that Oprah Winfrey was coming to town to run the marathon, how many people would be watching how she does? Every single person, right?
Lots.
So she's kind of at the front of the pack, right? The other side of the pack, the bottom of the pack is, I don't know, the kid that's living on his parents' couch in the basement playing video games, right? I don't have much in common with either one of those two people. Not much of us do. We're somewhere in the middle of the pack. And we're in the middle of the pack, nobody's looking. Like, nobody's watching. And so the cool thing about it is a lot of us can identify with this idea that we think, I got to do something because the boss wants me to do it. Or I think I got to do this because this is what society tells me is a good parent. Or I got to do this because I think people expect that. Meanwhile, everybody's living their life, man. They're not looking at you. They're just caring about themselves. Like, when you do something stupid in public, nobody even notices because they're doing their own stupid things. But if you're at the front of the pack or the back of the pack, everybody's watching. Everybody cares. But in the middle, where we all, most of us exist, great, 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 wonderful, amazing things can be done. And nobody cares. Nobody's watching. So the point is that you get to do it for yourself. Right? How awesome is that? If I told you right now, Mike, do me a favor. I know it's 10 degrees outside, but I want you to go for a 5-mile run. You'd be like, man, you're crazy. Why would I do that? And I say, well, look, I'll give you $50. And you're like, really? No, I don't need the $50. All right, I'll give you an hour off next week at work. You go,
here, dude. I'll take the $50 right now. Thank you.
Okay, sure. But what I'm saying is that if you came to me and said, guess what, David? It's 10 degrees out. I want nothing more to go for a 5-mile run. That's the greatest thing in the world. I'm going to go do it. Nothing could stop you. Right. But if I told you to do it, I mean, really, you know, you got to buy into it. And so this idea of being in the middle of the pack, I'll tell you a super quick story. Okay. Super quick. When I was starting my journey of losing weight, starting to become active and stop smoking or whatever, I was getting ready to do this event. It's called a half Ironman. And I go to the start line, and it's a wave of people going, wave, another wave, another wave, another wave. And the first wave that came on, I'm looking, everybody's a Greek god. Like, they got no fat. Everybody's gorgeous. Everybody's looking amazing. And I'm like, what the heck am I even doing here?
Mm-hmm. Chariots of Fire playing right now.
Right? I do not belong here. That's what I'm saying. I don't belong here. And so the gun goes off, and all these Greek god and goddesses go in the water, and they start swimming. And like five of them at the back don't know how to swim. They're on their back. They're doggy paddling. They're swimming in circles. And I'm like, well, they don't care what anybody thinks. Why the heck do I care? So I belong there if I want to belong there. Not, I'm not going to win the race, but I'm certainly going to finish ahead of the person that never started. So why don't I just worry about myself? And I don't care what anybody else thinks, because everybody else is not thinking about me anyway. They're just thinking about themselves, which is great. You should be doing stuff for yourself. So that's the gist of winning in the middle of the pack. Is I tell a ton of stories about the similarities between running a big business, running 100 miles, and you know, some of the more difficult things in life.
Mm-hmm. And of course, besides a bike ride and being in 15 Ironmans and several 24-hour runs, 50 triathlons, what do you consider your biggest accomplishment in all that?
Athletically?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd have to say it's 40. Maybe the first Ironman I did was the biggest accomplishment, because I don't think I believed that I could ever do something like that. You know, swim 2.4 miles, bike 112, and then run a marathon. And I'll never forget my friend Bob. I flew all the way from California to Florida to do this thing, so I could be away, as far away from anybody that might know me as possible, right? Because there's no way I belong there. And my friend Bob lived on the East Coast, and he and his family came to watch me. And I'd done the 2.4 mile swim, and then 7 hours later, I was done with my bike ride. And I'm 3 hours later, I'm done with half the marathon. And I'm like, maybe this thing is a possibility. And I'm getting ready to do the turnaround so I can go do the second half of the marathon, which is going to finish my thing. And I look over at my Bob and I go, how am I doing? And he goes, dude, you look like crap. You look like roadkill. He goes, you're going to die. Like, stop. Sit down. Stop. Quit. Because you look horrible. I don't want to watch my friend die. Knock it off. Stop. And I went, oh, I thought he was going to tell me to keep going. But I eventually finished that thing. I'd say that was a pretty big accomplishment. But certainly biking almost 5,000 miles in 45 days was a pretty big deal, too.
Mm-hmm. And certainly was as well. And we love to see it come through town, the triathlon, bike, and all that. And I'm looking forward to it coming your way. And where can we find your books at, especially Cycle of Lives, Winning in the Middle of the Pack, and more?
Well, thank you. All the proceeds from Cycle of Lives go to cancer-focused charities. They were all chosen by each one of the 15 book participants, and those charities are listed in the book. They're listed on my website, which is cycleoflives.org. But you know this, most books are sold on Amazon. The ones that aren't sold on Amazon are Barnes & Noble, and the rest are in the local bookstore. So wherever you get books, those books are available, and I appreciate it.
We certainly will check those out. We're here with author, entrepreneur, public speaker, athlete, and philanthropist David Richmond of Cycle Lives on the Mike Wagner Show. And just a few more things. What can we expect from you in 2023 and beyond, David?
Oh, man, I just went through a goal-setting exercise where I said, okay, I'm going to list out, you know, kind of my top goals. And I had 19 A goals that I got, like high priority goals I got to do this year. So a couple more books, a few more projects, some good public speaking. I do expressive writing workshops to help people reframe the conversation of trauma with themselves. I got a lot going on, but stay tuned. You know, I got more books and lots of fun stuff coming down the road.
We certainly will do so, and looking forward to it, David. And who do you consider biggest influence in your career?
The biggest influence in my career is a woman who was, I was working in the financial services industry and for a very, very major Wall Street firm. And she was one of the most powerful people at that Wall Street firm. And I got to be her right-hand man for a couple of years. She was the most intimidating. She was about 5 foot tall, 90 pounds wet. and she was the most intimidating person I've ever met. And she probably taught me over 100 lessons in business, and 95 of those lessons I've applied to my life. And I'd say she's first and nobody's even a close second.
That is amazing. I like to meet him as well, too. And if you look down as well, just amazing. And what's the best advice you can give to anybody at this point?
The best advice that I could give people, I would say that optimism is a choice. Like there's no doubt. Whatever, like, set your goal as high as you want to set it. Forgive yourself for all the bad decisions you made. I think the best advice I could give you, and it's not preaching, it's not lecturing, it's just like optimism is a choice. I just wrote a guest chapter in a book that where it's called Intentional Optimism is the name of my chapter. And it's like, man, I don't care what you're going through. I mean, I've been homeless. I had guns pointed at me. I've been robbed. I lost relatives. I mean, you name it. We all have rough times. And I think being an optimist is a choice. So I would say the biggest piece of advice I would say is you could choose to be optimistic, because tomorrow is and can be a better day than today. I don't care what you're going through.
Mm-hmm. And certainly a great advice indeed as well, too. We're here with David Richmond, the author of Cycle of Lives, here on the Mike Wagner Show. David, a very big thank you for your time. You have been absolutely fantastic. Learned a lot from you. Looking forward to having you again soon. Keep us up to date. Keep in touch. Love to have you back. Once again, what's your website? How do people contact you? Where can people purchase or check out your books?
Yeah, thank you, Mike. www.cycleoflives.org. That's where you can learn about me. Books are on Amazon, Cycle of Lives, or Winning in the Middle of the Pack. And if you go to my website and hit the contact me, that comes to me. I answer all the emails. I love responding to people that have read the book and told me how it touched them. And so, anything you need, if this touches you at all and you want to talk, reach out to me via the contact me button on the website.
We will certainly do that. Once again, Dan, a very big thank you for your time. You've been absolutely amazing. Looking forward to having you again soon. Keep us up to date. Keep in touch. Love to have you back and wish you all best. And David, you definitely have a great future ahead of you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. Keep doing what you're doing.
The Mike Wagner Show is powered by Sonic Web Studios. If you're looking to start or upgrade your online presence, visit www.sonicwebstudios.com for all of your online needs. Call 1-800-303-3960 or visit us online at www.sonicwebstudios.com to get started today. Mention the Mike Wagner Show and get 20% off your project. Sonic Web Studios. Take your image to the next level.
Hey, everybody. My name is Forbes Riley, and I'm an American actress and a TV host. And I was delighted when I got my copy of Missing, which is Extraordinary Relation of Ordinary People Based on a Real Life Relationship. It's well written. It's amazing. You know, it talks about a man who has lost his wife and his daughter, and it's very well done. I'm going to highly recommend that you go get your copy of Missing. It is a powerful, exciting read. Mr. Mian Moshe Zia, he is the author of Missing. And I want to give a big shout out and a kiss all the way halfway around the world to my dear friend. Check him out at Mia's website. It's called www.miamoshenzea.com. Missing, available on Amazon. Again, I'm Forbes Riley, and I will see you again soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The Mike Wagner Show, brought to you by international award-winning author Mia Moshenzea of Missing and powered by Sonic Web Studios. Be sure to join us again on over 40 podcast platforms and, of course, on themikewagnershow.com, hamiltonradio.net, and Diamonds FM. Don't forget to support our program with a generous donation at themikewagnershow.com. Thanks for listening.